So, yeah.
I think you could say, like, hey, man, Blaine broke up 5 passes today at practice. He was everywhere. Right. But you couldn't say, they're using Blaine on offense now.
Yeah, right, right, right. stuff. Yeah, no doubt.
John Bryce joins us now. We can always say what he's up to at John D. Bryce 1 with Football Scoop and a number of other outlets. John, the Titans rookies getting ready to hit the field this weekend. College football spring practice is done. Even in this COVID world, there is some normalcy with football, some things that we're used to in the spring these days.
Mickey, and always good to get to join you and Blaine. Plus, we still get a little bit of college football fix this weekend with the FCS National Championship game, and it will feature a first-time winner, be it Sam Houston State, which has been there a couple of times before, or South Dakota State. So it's number one versus number two. They both play some really good brands of football. That's exciting. And shout out Lindsey Wilson College up in Kentucky there, not too far over the line on 65, because those guys just won the NAIA National Championship Monday night.
No doubt. Definitely shout out to those guys. You know, what's crazy is, Blaine and I were talking about this, Bryce. There were a few national people when it was like, okay, a lot of these 1AA leagues are going to go ahead and play spring football. They're going to play through the championship, which I guess some leagues had played last fall, so some teams had to kind of wait. It was really weird. But there were some people who said, oh, they should just always play in the spring. Well, that'd be a heck of a penalty for any kid who was actually trying to be a part of the combine or the draft or any of that process. But here's the other crazy thing about all this. They're going to turn around and play another schedule in the fall. That's a heck of a thing for a whole bunch of kids physically to have to do that and mentally.
Absolutely. And I actually interviewed the Lindsey Wilson coach, Chris Oliver, last night for a big feature we've got coming up on Scoop this week. And he talked about that very fact. He said, look, we're barely 3 months out, if that, from not just summer conditioning, but for preseason camp. And he said it's an all new world that everybody is dealing with. These FCS teams that have made the playoffs, a great deal of them also have money games in the fall, which obviously means you're a 64 scholarship program that's already at one step below going against an 85 scholarship program. And the theory there is that you're always going to be a cupcake for them. That's not the reality. But again, that's a lot of wear and tear on the body. That's a lot of wear and tear on the mind. So it is a new thing to navigate. I will say, and statistics, TV viewership numbers have borne this out, it's been a great showcase for the FCS level, and I've contended for a while it's some really, really good football, and it's a lot of excellent coaching at that level because you don't have the freaks. It is more, or at least equal, I think, to the X's and O's as it is the Jimmys and Joes, because you don't have Mac Jones throwing to Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, or Najee Harris running the ball behind big Alex Leatherwood. So it's different. I think it showcases some really brilliant coaching. I have really enjoyed it. It may not be optimal for those teams to play money games in this format going forward, but from talking to people, I wouldn't close the door on this happening again, and for obviously entirely reasons other than a pandemic.
Yeah, wow. John Bryce joins us from Football Scoop to talk all things college football.
Yeah, no doubt, John. I guess that's going to be because they're going to get a lot more eyeballs in the springtime. Unfortunately, that it does hurt the kids that are actually trying to play and have an opportunity to play in the National Football League. But I want to talk about something else first before we get into the more details on schools and everything else. And that is that you attended a college director of football operations conference. I mean, kind of take us through what you learned there that you probably didn't know or didn't, you know, even expect.
You know, thanks for asking about that, Blaine. It was an incredibly eye-opening experience. I was in Frisco, Texas last week out at Dallas Cowboys headquarters, actually, where the team stays before all of its games and works out, has all their practices. It was really, really eye-opening to see what those people at all levels go through. And you think about the practice and the preparation that the coaches and players go through, but especially at the Power 5 level, you've got advanced scouting people that go arrive at the hotel Thursday. You've got equipment trucks that sometimes are pulling out on Monday or Tuesday of a week after just getting home in the wee hours of Sunday morning so that they can get on the road and get everything transported to the next location. You're talking about they've got to book stuff. I mean, every DFO at that conference from one of the major Power 5 programs already has his or her logistics set for the entire season. You know, some friends of mine at Arkansas had to renegotiate with an entire airline because they've been using one airline or Arkansas had been using one airline before Sam Pittman and company got there. That was an airline these people had had a bad experience with. They wanted to shift. That airline typically hadn't flown into Fayetteville, but they worked out an agreement to charter planes for Arkansas for all of its football road trips, flying in and out of Fayetteville. So there's just a lot of logistical nuances that go into that. And, you know, it's like being an umpire in Major League Baseball or an offensive lineman or a deep snapper. You want to be invisible. And if the DFOs are invisible, that means they're doing a really elite job. You know, there was one DFO who talked about getting the hotel and having all the key cards mixed up because somebody at the hotel, one of the employees, saw the cards laying out on a table and was worried that a random fan might harass the players. So they confiscated all the cards. Well, all the room cards were set in order so the guys could just walk in and pick them up. So they got all jumbled up and mixed out of order, and there was a delay in checking in. And again, that's when coaches are dialed in, especially that night before the game, they want everything running smoothly. So it's a fascinating look at the behind the scenes of college athletics. I've been fortunate a few years ago when Tennessee trained at Milligan College to ride with Joe Harrington and the equipment crew up to Milligan and do a behind the scenes of how this Tennessee program, which has as many resources as any program in the country, shifted down to an NAIA school that didn't even have a football program to hold 2.5 weeks of preseason camp. So you get an idea at that point in time, just all the logistical details that, again, they're only noticed if they're screwed up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're on with John Bryce with footballscoop.com. And now we got the NIL, and I see Notre Dame in your area there is really serious about this and help the players building their brands and having them on billboards and everything else, man. Where are we going with this NIL and building your brand?
I'll tell you what, if you're not out in front, Blaine, then you're behind. And we're seeing it already in Florida and Alabama, particularly with legislation and programs that those flagship universities are launching. I wrote about this earlier in the spring. Gus Malzahn is putting Twitter handles on the back of his players' jerseys for a set of their uniforms at Central Florida. Notre Dame just launched a billboard campaign nationwide in 14 major metropolitan areas, literally from L.A. to the New York City metro area and various points in between, to feature Notre Dame players either from those direct metro areas or from those states. And it not only has a huge image of the player with his name, but it also very prominently features that player's Twitter handle. And again, it's about amplifying the brand and the visibility so that when NIL legislation does fully pass and the guidelines are established, they're ready to make money off of their name and image likeness from the outset. North Carolina recently did something very interesting. It basically formed like an NFL Players Inc. for all of its student athletes over in Chapel Hill. So that will be one model that bears a lot of paying attention to see how it's going to work. I know some football coaches are hopeful that their players will all pool their money and then divide it evenly among the roster. I think that might be a little naive in some cases, but coaches are worried about disrupting the locker room if player A gets a $50,000 endorsement and player B gets a $5,000 endorsement. So there's a lot of things we don't know about it. There's a lot of nebulous areas. But again, if you're not at least trying to be proactive with it, you've got almost no chance. And from talking with people in that industry and that are specializing in that, I do think Tennessee has some very innovative things on the horizon for some of its players and student athletes that it is planning to do. And I've been very impressed with some of the things that Vanderbilt is doing, but they've got a brilliant guy over there in Bart Simmons who really knows how to read the landscape and knows how to tap into what young people are paying attention to.
No doubt about it. There, those guys are all sharp. I guess at Tennessee, another compliance officer is out. I think it's Adam Tate, maybe. I don't know if you know any backdrop of why this took so long at this point in time, or did we just now find out?
No, it's just happened within the week, Blaine. 100%. I mean, this was this has been unfolding. Breaking news. I've seen some of the documentation that reflects that Adam Tate is just out literally within the past 7 days. Look, the whole thing is still ongoing, so it's a very thorough, meticulous process. And look, this isn't an investigation that started internally, so obviously some people at UT were paying attention and brought this matter to the proper authorities and continued to probe it further. So Tennessee has done what it was supposed to do in that regard. But then the flip side of that is you've got people saying, well, it never should have gotten to this level. So Tennessee and Adam Tate have mutually separated, however you want to term it. They're no longer a party together. I believe that is now about the 11th person at minimum to basically be let go from Tennessee or to depart from Tennessee as a direct result of the Jeremy Pruitt recruiting scandal. When you talk about Pruitt, two other assistant coaches, I think 7 members of the recruiting staff, and then Adam Tate. So I believe that's 11 people directly gone as a result of that scandal. Also, Adam Tate's sister, I believe, was a volunteer in the football operations department. She's obviously no longer a part of Tennessee football or Tennessee athletics. So there's been a lot of fallout. Everyone is still waiting on what that's going to mean. The people I talked to are adamant that it will mean show cause penalties for the coaches involved, and it will mean scholarship reductions, recruiting sanctions, and potentially a 1-year or so bowl ban for Tennessee as it moves forward as a program.
Well, with the legend, John Bryce of FootballScoop.com.
John, I know you just mentioned some of the potential penalties, but do they have any clue when they might get, I guess, the next step is they get a notice of allegations, right? And then they could start to build their defense against that.
Well, no, Mickey, I think Tennessee on its end has basically largely wrapped up all of its internal investigation. It's used the, Bond, Schoenick, and King law firm. Kyle Skillman and Michael Glazer specifically have spearheaded Tennessee's efforts. So I think Tennessee feels like it is pretty buttoned down with everything it has needed to do and is working to self-impose sanctions and penalties to maybe mitigate what the NCAA decides to move forward with in terms of punishment. So Tennessee has to submit its proposal. The NCAA can then say, okay, we accept that. The NCAA can say, we don't accept that, or we accept that and we also suggest this. Then Tennessee at that point would have to determine whether or not it wanted to accept the NCAA's findings or try to petition to move forward. And you could potentially send it to a third party outfit like Kansas basketball is doing. And I believe LSU basketball may also be doing the same thing. But again, once you submit it to that third party, the key element is there is no appeal process. So if you submit it to that third party and that group rules, you know what, everything's good, you're done, then hey, hallelujah, you're done. But if that third group rules, you have to fire 5 more people, you have to forfeit 10 scholarships, you're bowl banned for 3 years. There's literally no appeal process for that. So that's sort of where it is for Tennessee. It depends on who you talk to. People on Rocky Top are optimistic they might know something by the end of the summer. People on the flip side of that are like, Tennessee will be lucky to know by next January.
The other part of this, you'd written about this as well on Football Scoop, is Jeremy Pruitt still out there trying to get his money during the middle of all this.
He 100% is trying to get his money, and he's trying to sue basically for wrongful termination and trying to recoup literally millions of dollars. I think Tennessee has made it pretty clear that it's dug in, that it believes it wholly fired Jeremy Pruitt with cause. Donnie Plowman has said that. Donnie Plowman point blank said, fired with cause, this means no buyout. So I think Tennessee is prepared to really dig in its heels. If the NCAA is looking at a multi-year show cause for Jeremy Pruitt, which is what every single person on both sides of the aisle has told me, then I think Jeremy Pruitt would have a very hard time recouping any money unless Tennessee just decided at some point in time it might possibly be cheaper to pay Jeremy Pruitt a couple of $1 million than to extend this thing further with litigation and paying lawyers and things of that measure. But Tennessee has made it clear it will not pay Jeremy Pruitt. And again, Donnie Plowman's own words, which I don't think can be emphasized enough, is fired with cause. That means no buyout.
But John Bryce with Football Scoop at John D. Bryce 1 on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess lastly, John, before we let you go, is I guess talk about what the TWSA, got up and running in the spring sports here in Tennessee and what that was like and how difficult that actually was. Kind of take us through that process.
Yeah, Blaine, you're a good man for bringing that up. I really appreciate it because that's something I do as a passion, is try to help out the organization and tell their stories. And I'm working on a series right now. I think the softball piece rolls out tomorrow. We ran soccer yesterday. But we're closing in on spring fling, guys, a year after all of that stuff was ended because of COVID. And obviously, There were far more important things that developed because of COVID, but it's hard to tell a teenager that who maybe is playing his or her final ever organized sporting event, because regardless of sport, it's so very few of them who get to go on and play collegiate athletics. So we looked at soccer yesterday. Again, everybody a year ago thought they were going home for 2 weeks, then maybe 4 weeks. TSSAA looked at trying to extend spring fling all the way back into June in order to try and have some sort of viable competition so that these seniors didn't lose everything they had worked several years for. It just couldn't happen. So in the soccer story, I thought one of the most amazing things was how 48 coaches from around the state of Tennessee pulled together to do a coaches' state soccer championship that was going to be hosted at Rocky Top Sports Complex in Gatlinburg. And ultimately, that got shot down a week before it happened because of public health safeties and protocols by Governor Lee. But look, he was just acting in what he believed the best interest of the public was. But they still endowed three separate $500 scholarships to give to these soccer players who didn't get a senior season, who were going to go on to college. They ordered special uniforms for this. In a lot of cases, these coaches paid for them out of their pockets or paid for them out of their booster club pockets and putting them out of a deficit for this coming year. But they pulled together. They've made it happen. Spring Fling is going to happen. It's been a tremendously successful year. And not because I'm affiliated with the organization, they're kind enough to just let me help them, but because of what all the coaches who work all those long hours and all the student athletes have done, I really tip my hat to them.